From Vox Markets, I'm Anita Riota.
And I'm Francesca Morgan.
Welcome to Spotlight. In this episode, we set out to understand more about the rollout of 5G technologies, both globally and in the UK. For consumers, 5G is promising lightning-fast speeds up to 100 times faster than 4G, incredibly low latency, which could make the dream of driverless cars a reality, and the capacity to carry massive numbers of connections simultaneously. For telecoms companies, especially in the EU, 5G represents an opportunity to seriously rally their stock market after what the Financial Times has called a damaging decade-long price war over mobile data during the 4G era.
Mobile operator giants in the UK have already spent around £1.4 billion in the aim of securing spectrum for their own 5G launch. Thanks to the 5G rollout, UK business at large could see revenues jump up by almost £16 billion within 6 years. Even conservative estimates add a serious £8 billion to the UK's economy. It should come as no surprise then that the private sector is not alone in its interest in harnessing the capabilities of 5G.
The UK government is also putting significant weight behind 5G. Philip Hammond, Chancellor of the Exchequer, has said he wants the UK to become, quote, a world leader in 5G. The government also published a 70-page manifesto on its future 5G strategy and has committed to devoting up to £16 million of the budget to running 5G trials.
And that sentiment is being echoed by governments around the world. China, Australia, New Zealand, among many others, are working tirelessly to become a leader in 5G technology.
And that's because many believe that 5G will be the seminal technology of the modern era. So dominating 5G will mean having an edge on defining technologies such as artificial intelligence. And just so you can understand the scale that we're talking here, Deloitte analysts believe that 2021 will be the first year in which retailers will sell more than 100 million 5G handsets.
Fundamental to the importance of 5G is that it not only makes existing functions, such as download and reaction times, quicker, but it will also radically change manufacturing and productivity practices. So much so that experts believe 5G will usher in the fourth industrial revolution, a movement Forbes says will generate close to $1 trillion in economic value by 2025. That is less than 6 years from now.
So to better understand the landscape of 5G and its offerings, we turn to the experts who are at the forefront of this current technological development. There are, however, clear challenges that lie in the path of 5G's rollout, ranging from infrastructure requirements to high costs. But before any of this, it's essential to grasp what 5G fundamentally is. So we turn to analyst Benjamin Radigan, who works as an expert on industrial development for the Internet of Things Solutions World Congress, to walk us through it. Can you give us a high-level overview of what 5G means and what it's promising?
Sure. So 5G simply refers to the fifth generation of mobile networking technology. So approximately every 10 years or so, a new generation gets rolled out. And right now, you know, we're currently on 4G. A lot of operators are starting to do their implementation for 5G. Verizon in the US was the first network to roll out there. And the big promises for 5G are there's three main facets to it. The first is that we're looking at much, much faster network speeds, so as high as 10 gigabytes per second, right? So that means, for example, downloading an entire film onto your phone in a millisecond, right? So that's almost imperceptible to humans. I know, it's really incredible. Also, really important is that we'll see lower latency with 5G. And latency is the response time from when you first ping the network to when you get a response, right? So it just means the delay in contacting the network. And again, that will also be reduced to almost imperceptible by 5G. And then finally, 5G will offer this, you know, really substantial additional network support for massive increases in data traffic. And that's really impactful for sectors like Internet of Things or autonomous vehicles, et cetera.
But of course, before looking forward to what transformative powers 5G can have, it was essential for us to have a clearer image of the telecoms world today. we spoke with Ian Fishwick, former long-standing CEO and founder of Adept Technology Group, and Anna Tobin, a monthly Forbes contributor specializing on European media and technology.
The last decade saw Ofcom regulate down the price of calls to mobile phones with the idea of whatever end user device you launch, it should cost the same. They've effectively done that, but what they've not managed to do so far is equalise the performance that you get from mobile devices compared to when you're in an office at the moment. Let's take 4G as an example. The average speed of 4G across the UK is around about 10 megabits, which is better than 3G, but not fantastic. Well, now, if you think that if I put a fibre connection to your building, I can give you up to 10 gigabits, which is 10,000 megabits, then you can see that there are some substantial benefits currently of putting fibre into building. That is what is about to change, because 5G will potentially give you access up to 10 gigabits. So suddenly, it can be up to 1,000 times faster than 4G.
When I first started looking into what 5G was and had to explain it to people, I looked at what came before it. So 5G stands for fifth generation mobile, and it obviously came after 4G, 3G, 2G, and the first ever mobile, which would have been first generation, which was simply the old brick, which you used to use to phone, other mobiles. So that was pretty incredible at the time it came in. And then we moved on to 2G, which was offered greater security so that your signal was safe and no one could listen in. It wasn't picked up on radio. And from that, we moved on to 3G, which was the start of the smartphone revolution.
The UK is quickly learning what the potential of 5G can mean in practice. We asked Mark Stansfeld, chair of the Worcestershire Local Enterprise Partnership, or the WLEP, currently overseeing one of Britain's first official 5G factory rollouts, and what he believes the new technology can offer on past iterations.
And the WLEP, as part of this initiative, was awarded a grant of £4.8 million, and this is part of the initiative to be a 5G testbed. Could you explain to us what the aims of this grant are?
The realization, I think, at the government level, and I think we all did, that 5G, people were looking at the commercial model. It's an expensive technology, you know, with a number of stations that you've got to have and just buying spectrum and that. So I think there was a realization people couldn't see the commercial benefits. And I think the government recognized that they needed to almost give it a kickstart, be a catalyst for change. And so the UK PLC government went and launched some phase one test beds. We won one of six around Industry 4.0, 5G, and smart factories using 5G. And we were one of six. So the government has seen it as that they've got to almost feed the market. And I'd have to say that it's been successful because they've got 1.1 billion committed through the industrial strategy to digitization. It's been successful because a lot of the operators now are getting behind it. And I was over at Mobile World Congress. 5G was the agenda. And there's no doubt that Industry 4.0 manufacturing was something where people could see the money.
Yeah, it is. It's really a magic question because especially at events like Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, for example, which is the biggest telco and tech sector event every February. And, you know, what we've seen for the past few years is, you know, everybody's been talking about 5G. Everyone's really excited about it. But there is a definite lack of catch up in the market to, you know, seeing devices that are 5G ready, to seeing, you know, fully packaged solutions that are ready. So I think from a consumer point of view, we're not really going to see a substantial change for the next maybe 2 or 3 years or so.
5G isn't the answer to everything at all. I think it's going to be a head net of technologies. So the right technology for the right space. But where 5G is right, it comes down to either a combination of its speed, the latency benefits, or the capacity. And we've noticed when we've had sensors on machines, a lot of sensors, you know, that 4G technology would not have been the answer in that space. And 5G provides that opportunity. We've noticed when we're doing augmented reality with remote monitoring or augmented reality and remote monitoring for people who are working off-site, and using the cameras, 4G wouldn't wouldn't be the right technology. So it's about that honest conversation of saying, what's the right technology?
So as it turns out, the current 5G rollout is sharply focused on industry benefits rather than consumer devices. So we wanted to know what businesses are going to derive from this technology, and why was it necessary to start from industry?
Imagine all the components of an airplane, you know, the thousands of different pieces that are fitted with sensors, and they can then send information in real time about their status back to the airline's maintenance teams, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the real money is going to be in industrial IoT, and that's something that investors should pay attention to, because, you know, platforms like Microsoft and Intel, Cisco, IBM, you know, they've made really big bets on industrial IoT. And a lot of these companies are finally starting to see their ROI come through, like in savings for manufacturing or predictive maintenance, for example. So pretty much if you, you know, look around you, you can think that, you know, at some point, that device or that object is going to have something measuring something about it, and then kind of take the extrapolation from there.
So I understand the operator space. I started out doing the Worcestershire Local Enterprise Partnership because I care about where I live. So it was a voluntary role, and it's about driving inclusive economic growth for the region, which I'm passionate about, to make sure you benefit. But we saw the opportunity that you have to have connectivity, and that's both physical connectivity and digital connectivity, to drive productivity. And you get improvements of productivity of anywhere between 3 to 10% on those two things. So for me, what it was very much about, how do we make Worcestershire, which is where I am, Worcestershire, a connected county and a digital county to enable people to start businesses and drive businesses to their benefit.
Targeting business, first of all, because they want business and industry to pick it up. And once business and industry pick it up, they can develop the applications and the machines that people will then want to use in the consumer world.
This industry-centric approach is also born out of what many see as 5G's greatest innovation, the Internet of Things. Ben Rattigan, who specializes in this sector, gave us an overview to this evolving space.
So, Benjamin, as I started my research into 5G and its implications for the tech landscape's future, the term the Internet of Things started cropping up everywhere, and I really hadn't come across it before. So could you give us some background into what the Internet of Things is?
Sure. The Internet of Things is quite simple, actually. All it means is taking some kind of sensor that measures something quantifiable, like temperature, pressure, distance, and putting that sensor on an object. And then that sensor sends information about the state of that object back out to the internet. So an example would be a wearable like an Apple Watch or Fitbit. They have sensors that can track geolocation, your heart rate, the steps that you've climbed. And then they send all that information back out to your phone or to an app or to the cloud somewhere. And that data is really useful for all sorts of things.
And there are also different kinds of Internet of Things, right? Could you characterize the industrial Internet of Things and how that's different to consumer IoT?
Sure. The differentiation is that the industrial Internet of Things focuses specifically on normally larger sensor deployments, and mostly in the manufacturing and industrial production fields. So imagine, for example, a 2,000 kilometer long oil pipeline that has sensors every half kilometer to sense for a change in pressure that would indicate a leak in the pipeline. And every half hour or so, the sensor sends out a ping back to the network to let the company know that it's okay. So no pressure has changed. That means no leak. And so that's very different than something like, you know, your wearable or a smart thermostat or a smart refrigerator that is mostly a B2C product as opposed to a B2B product.
And could you, what do you mean by B2C?
By B2C, I mean business to consumer. So okay. If I'm selling a wearable, it's going directly to the consumer via the Apple Store, for example, instead of a business to business type of product.
So this generation is the next stage on. And in terms of the mobile phone user, they might not notice a huge change. It will be faster, even faster than 4G. But it depends, but you won't necessarily notice it. 5G is a much bigger technology in that it encompasses so many more things. It allows you to link your mobile to your phone, to your fridge, to your car, and it's creating what's known as the Internet of Things, the IoT revolution. So in terms of the consumer, it won't be such a major change unless you've got other applications that you can link to it, like your car or your washing machine or your fridge.
And given that, what can we expect the relationship to be between 5G and IoT? Is it this latency? You know, how are they really going to interact?
So I think, it's a great question. Here, I think an example would help. So if you imagine that we have, you know, at some point in the future, a fully autonomous vehicle, right, that has tons of IoT sensors inside of it that's tracking everything happening in the car. And then all the information that gets sent out from the sensors, you know, gets bounced off the network and helps the car make decisions about what to do next, right? Mm-hmm. So here, the low latency is really important, because if there's even a millisecond delay from the network, the car potentially could travel 10 more feet before braking, right? So 10 feet seems like a little bit, but, you know, in a traffic context, that could be a matter of life or death, right? So if you think about, you know, if you're driving now and you're on a 4G network and your GPS is a little bit slow and you're waiting for it to update, you know, you might miss your exit. And, you know, that's annoying because you're not sure where to turn. But in a 5G context with autonomous vehicles, you know, it really needs to be quick. So you can see the union between the speed of 5G and then all of these different pieces of information that are getting pushed out from IoT sensors.
That's really interesting. I think something else I was looking at is the Internet of Things Solutions World Congress seeks to support both large organizations, but also SMEs by granting them broader access to the most advanced IoT solutions and technologies. How do you go about achieving this goal? And in that process, is there anything that's different about granting SMEs rather than a larger company access to IoT?
Sure. So the IoT Solutions World Congress is a project that I'm, you know, personally very involved with. And what's fascinating about it is that there are very few sectors that are not going to be touched by IoT, as we mentioned, right? Mm. So what we do over the course of the year and at the conference is not so much talking about the technology itself, but rather about the business problems that organizations are having that can be then addressed by IoT. So organizations are, you know, they're at all sorts of different stages of sophistication with IoT. So some are just starting to implement it, others are very advanced, and we've seen a few cases where there's been a very poor rollout of IoT, and a company actually needs to go back and fix what they've done. So our project provides a venue where industrial IoT experts can meet and exchange these best practices with the business practitioners who really need them. And then specific to SMEs, you know, SMEs are a really interesting field as opposed to the bigger players, simply because of their nature. You know, they're smaller, they're more nimble, they can make quicker decisions. Larger companies are slower to innovate, they have more substantial CapEx requirements if, you know, they need to roll out a system-wide IoT platform. So, you know, they're naturally kind of more hesitant and cautious about it. And, you know, I mean, there's nothing like a startup to make a quick pivot, right?
Yeah. The impactful relationship between 5G and the Internet of Things is at the heart of what many are calling the fourth industrial revolution, or as it's been given a 2019 upgrade, Industry 4.0. Mark Stansfeld recognizes that at the essence of the British government's desire to master 5G is a hope that it will land them at the helm of Industry 4.0. Could you characterize this Industry 4.0 for us, and what really distinguishes it from what has come before?
I think it's, for me, it's the digitization of the factory, it's a smart factory. Industry 4.0 is the application of the new technologies to increase overall connectivity, not just within the factory, within the machines, etc., which it will do, but also enabling the whole supply chain to improve its performance as well. And I think that is critical. And I know we're taking our IP that we're developing within Worcestershire 5G, and we're working with the government and with the Connected Cities Programme about how we actually take our learnings and apply them to the supply chain. So an example, how could you take those learnings and apply it from goods coming into port right the way through to the productivity process? Now, we have just in time at the moment and the adoption certainly within many of the industries, but how much more could it be improved using data analytics all the way through to making sure that you get the right product, that golden product being produced at the right time with the right constituents at all the way through the supply chain? And I think that's the opportunity. The UK government is committed to doing it. And if you look at the industrial strategy that the UK government has put together, the delivery of that industrial strategy requires a full digitization of the country.
Looking back, when we think of the first, second and third industrial revolution, which involved steam and electricity and mechanization, they also probably happened quite slowly. There would have been a few futuristic factories that picked these up first and then others moved in. So it will be revolutionary, but it's not going to be, it's probably more of an evolution rather than a revolution, because industry itself is made up of mainly SMEs rather than the big players, and the SMEs are not going to have the investment required to quickly pick up on it, and they're going to want to see how it plays out first. The early adopters and then the others will follow on as the technology drops in price.
So let's not fall into the trap of thinking that the world will change tomorrow. It won't. And these things tend to be evolution, not revolution, in a B2B environment.
So it would seem the case is then that, having seized the opportunities of both the Internet of Things and Industry 4.0, that those at the forefront of 5G will be better positioned to become a strong global leader. We asked our guests if this was truly a belief held amongst the experts.
Do you want to make sure that you are seen as a future-facing country? Certainly from a UK PLC government, there is a commitment to positioning the UK as a leader in the 5G space, and it wants to be seen as such. One would argue that if, even at a basic level, if you're getting improvements of productivity through the adoption, just even in the manufacturing space, of, I mentioned anyway, 1, 2, 3%, whatever it would be, that's a significant contribution. And for a country like the UK PLC, it helps you move up the league table in terms of recognition of productivity. So I think it's important to embrace these technologies, but there's always in life, no one thing is a solution to everything. It's got to be a blend of all of the macroeconomic elements that drive perception on the country.
I think it depends where you start from. If you're in a country that is physically large and diverse, where digging up fibre and connecting it on a daisy chain, effectively what it is, is ruinously expensive, then the idea that you can do it from the sky, so to speak, is a massive step forward. If you haven't got anything, don't start with fibre, start with 5G. Mm-hmm. If you're in the Western world where you've already got these things, then you're going to have to prove that the new stuff is more cost effective than what is already there.
It's a very simplified version of how different countries would like things to play out. But obviously there's other things that are coming into play. The world, the global economy is quite unstable and precarious at the moment. So there's other things that are going to act upon how well these technologies do and how well they're picked up. Because if there isn't the investment there to get into them, or if two or three of the companies in the chain that uses them fold, then it means the whole lot falls over. So you need to look at it on a bigger picture. But if you look at it on a simplified view, you can view it like the space race of who's going to get there first.
The last piece of the puzzle, then, is bringing 5G and IoT technologies to the consumer market. And while this may seem like it's an afterthought in this industry-centric rollout, our experts argue it will be the moment of true takeoff for 5G, because so many people have yet to grasp the magnitude of the opportunity 5G represents.
In one of her pieces for Forbes, Anna Tobin covered a Barclays report that found, quote, The true economic benefit of 5G risks not being realised because businesses don't appreciate what the technology can do for their bottom line.
In fact, the study found that of the 39% of companies who said they are aware of how 5G can bolster their business, only 15% have thought critically about how they can exploit 5G, and a measly 9% have actually significantly invested in the technology.
I definitely think it's the sector to watch in terms of technology. But as I said, consumers are not being targeted yet because the value isn't there for them. But once a significant amount of the infrastructure is in place and the business partnership and the industry partnership is there, they will start targeting consumers. And that's when we have to see whether there is the demand. I mean, at the moment, you can get, you know, smart fridges and cars with some smart technology, but they're early adopters are picking them up, but you know the price is still too high, and it's just not economic to go mass market. So when the come down, when the whole infrastructure's in, and then consumers pick up, then we should see a circle where everything should grow.
And you just mentioned that people were having a hard time seeing the commercial benefits of this technology. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that was? Was it just the expense, or was the industry just sort of happy with the technology it already had? How could you explain that sort of resistance?
I think it's like any new technology. It's understanding where the application will be and where the commercial benefits would be. I think in the consumer space, you know, it's harder. Within the enterprise space and the SME space, people could see it, but probably didn't know what the applications were. We're working closely with Worcester, Bosch, and Mazak at a manufacturing level. And with the trials that we've done and the productivity gains that we're seeing, I think that the whole ecosystem, the operators, the vendors, and the manufacturers start to say, if you could drive 2% improvements in productivity, there is clearly commercial benefits for all of us in this space. What we're saying is, how can we make it easier for operators to do business? And so we're looking at planning, we're looking at cell sites, in terms of access, we're looking at rents, we're looking at the way you can actually lay fiber, because don't forget, this is about a joined up ecosystem. You need to have fiber from cell sites back as well. So how do you actually make it easier to be able to do that? And then there's a whole question around spectrum, because it may well be that there are some manufacturers who might want to actually own their own spectrum, which again would be a radical change. There may be people who do neutral networks that you share, you don't build, and you lease space on it. So I think there's lots of stuff, and what we're trying to do within Worcestershire is be an exemplar and make sure we're at the forefront and a connected county on this one.
Do you see if we start building this Internet of Things, that would have quite a large impact on the consumer experience? Is that what you think one of the new developments will be?
Very much so. I think, at least in the consumer side, most people were probably quite focused on smart home and wearables. So smart home, you can direct everything that happens in your house, from lighting to ordering something for your refrigerator to the thermostat from your phone. And then also with wearables, the whole concept of wellness and personal health, you know, all of these are different things that can be measured. So your stress levels, your heart rate, if you're diabetic, they can now put sensors on top of the skin that can test your blood sugar. And so, you know, all of these provide really important information for our overall well-being. So, you know, the consumer side of things is really exciting as well.
When consumers see value in it, then the circle of the profit circle will grow. But in order for the consumers to see value in it, the price of everything that entails, so the smart cars, the semi-autonomous cars, the clever washing machines and all of that, that the prices will have to come down significantly to push the market.
What would you say, just in broad strokes, would be the effect that 5G's rollout will have on investor sentiment in IoT and telecoms in general?
I think overall it will be very positive in the sense that the technology is prepared, the technology is here, and now it's just a question of doing an intelligent rollout, right? Mm-hmm. So IoT will, for better or worse, be interacting with every different facet of our lives, from you know what we do at home, what we do with our phones, what we do in our offices, you know, for every different type of industry. And 5G is really going to be the facilitator for that, whereas before IoT was almost at the cusp of being able to go forward and do these different types of things, but was kind of held back by network speeds. So, you know, I think, you know, there's really going to be, and this is the type of futuristic thing where you say where right now, you and I speaking today, we can't even imagine what things are going to be like in 3 or 4 years from now, because there's still all these different, you know, entrepreneurs and startups and projects that will be budding as a result of this kind of perfect union. So I think, you know, investors should be positive on that. But, you know, I think in terms of investors, there needs to be a really clear ROI for making this investment in 5G, right? So, you know, the CapEx for updating these networks is incredible. You know, I mean, it's in the billions of dollars every year. So I think Bloomberg said something like $200 billion per year. So despite all the excitement from the market about 5G and at Mobile World Congress, you know, operators need to see clear use cases and a clear ROI, because in many situations, they're still waiting for their promised ROI from 4G.
I think the value is there, but again, you need to break it down in terms of the investment that's got to be put in to get that value. So it's not going to be, these figures are not profits. They might be turnover, you know, but what's being put in order to take that out, you need to work out what the sums are, and I'm not sure what that is and whether it's going to be as big a bigger profit margin as people hope.
5G will define the technologies that emerge in the next few decades. The question remains, however, is whether the rollout path will be one mired in challenges, or if it will rise to its promise.
If you look at the way it's being deployed, it shows you quite clearly how businesses view it and also how it will be picked up. So at the moment, it's being tested in various countries around the world, but only in major cities. And it's not, you know, they're testing it at the moment in London, but it isn't the whole of London. They're going to test it within one very busy area of central London. And they're testing it in different pockets around the UK, but within cities and within the very high traffic areas within those cities. And that's because it's very, very hard, very, very expensive to deploy and roll out. You'll need much more receiving equipment in order to get it around the world, so around the country. So one of the problems with 5G is it doesn't always penetrate buildings very well. And because of that, you need much more equipment out there to bounce the signals around. So it's a very, very expensive technology to deploy.
Industrial revolutions of the past had more than a marginal effect on not only business, but society at large. And this one is expected to be no different. According to Forbes, by 2025, the fourth industrial revolution is expected to generate close to $1 trillion in economic value. Do you see this tremendous value being created? And if so, where are you seeing it?
I definitely see productivity improvements. And if I just take from our early indicative results, as we've deployed the 5G network, so we really are at the forefront of technology. This is, you know, we've been using a non-standalone architecture up until recently. We're now moving to a full standalone 5G architecture. We've already seen improvement between 1 or 2%, depending on the application. If you roll that up at a regional level, at a national level, it is worth billions to the overall value to the country. So do I see it? Yeah, I do actually see it. But I think this is the beginning of it. And as always, it's not the whole answer. But I do think it could well be. With UK manufacturing, the output is, I think, 44.6 billion in quarter one 2018. A 1 to 2% increase would give an improvement of £1.78 billion a year, which is significant. And that's just within the manufacturing in a small area. If you roll that into benefits in, you know, even right down to financial services, into health, how could you do things differently in the health environment? So wherever you have a problem and insight, what role can technology play? But without a doubt, the big learning is 5G is critical, but it's the application of all of the technologies, and is a gap between industry, as I would call it, and the technology, and how we close that gap that we get the true application benefits. We're going to see a change in the deployment of 5G, so it may well be more shared sites, it may well be in rural areas, shared mass, it may well be local regional authorities looking at how they could use their public assets to be able to assist in this, because then what you have is, it's not about the rental you get off the cell sites, it's about the increased business rates and profitability and tax that is paid by the companies that drive the local economies. So I think we're at the early stages of change that I think will be to the benefit of all, actually.
We want to give a special thanks to our amazing panel of guests. So thank you to Ian Fishwick, Anna Tobin, Benjamin Rattigan, and Mark Stansfeld.
And as a final note, to prove that issues such as 5G are constantly evolving and shape-shifting, since we recorded these interviews, Brussels has announced it will halt its rollout of 5G due to a new concern, radiation. Brussels has some of the strictest radiation regulations for telecom equipment in the world, and it is unclear how the trial will continue in this European capital.
Join us next time when we look at a new age of investment within a global energy transition, off-grid energy solutions. Many say off-grid systems are the future of renewable infrastructure. Our guests enlighten us on the critical value of this latest market opportunity, and what a move towards a universally sustainable future will mean for communities currently without access to electricity.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Spotlight.